Anyway, let's go ahead and get into tonight. We're talking about healing this evening. You know, there's so much that I can say about this topic because I've ministered on this in many places. I've seen so much fruit in this area in my life that there's so much that I could teach. But what I've discovered is that if you really want to see the fruit of God's Word operating in your life, you have to have a true biblical foundation in that area late in your life. See, lots of people, especially in today's church, it's very interesting because it didn't used to always be like this, but if you go to many places, now this is not everywhere, but you can go to many different places. You can go to the Methodist church, you can go to many places, and a lot of people today believe in healing. But it wasn't always like that. But if you ask them why they believe in healing, they don't know. And what I've discovered is that when you have the Word of God deposited in your heart, and it's based what you believe and what you're applying in your life and what you're trying to minister to someone else, when it's based solely and squarely upon the revelation of what the Word of God gives us, that's when we truly start seeing true results. And what I've seen, a lot of you have heard me ministering since last March, I believe, or last April. And you've heard me say many things, and many of my messages, I've given testimonies of people being healed and all these types of things. One of the key things that I see that works in people's lives concerning healing, and really it's concerning everything, is that when we start to believe without any dilution, but we start to believe what the Bible says about something, not what we've been told about something. Even if we've been told it's God's will to heal you, that's good. It's better than God's given you this to teach you something. But if you don't have the Word of God as your foundation, you can be frustrated. And when you go to try to minister to others, you know, we're not just teaching you this so that you can get something. Yes, you're going to get something. You first have to have something before you can give something. But this is about equipping you also so that you will have the confidence you need to step out there and start touching people's lives for Jesus. Because you will have your faith in the Word of God, not in yourself. And what I've seen is that if you would just take a little bit of time when you want to minister to someone, I don't care if they've been in the church 20 years, I always, every time, I find out where they are. Because I've discovered that it's actually a disservice to somebody to pray for them for healing. Now, you can disagree with me, and that's okay. But it's a disservice to somebody to pray for someone in the area of healing if they don't really understand many things. If they're battling discouragement, if they're battling doubt, if they've been in the church for a while and they have all of this wrong teaching that's laid up in their heart, they don't even know it's there. You know, sometimes there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, tear down and then build up. Sometimes we have to take a jackhammer, do you call them jackhammers here? To the old faulty foundation, clear it out and lay a new one. Because a lot of people I've discovered will say the right things with their mouth, but yet you can tell there's something not quite there. And if you will just listen to them long enough, if you're going to minister to them, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I've ministered to people healing, and I've talked to them one-on-one many times, and they'll always tell me the right thing if they're coming to me for healing. You know, it's amazing how often we can pass the test if we're just answering a question, but yet it really hasn't affected our lives. You know, lots of people go to Bible school. We went to Bible school. I got great grades, but you know what? It took some time to start walking in those things. So, out of the abundance of the heart, when you're ministering to someone, even yourself, listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Your mouth reveals what's truly in your heart. Not when you're trying to give the right answer, but when, especially if you're by yourself, or if you're by other people you're not trying to impress, say your husband or wife or kids, what comes out of your mouth? Because a lot of times that will reveal what's truly in there. A lot of times. Oh, brother, I believe that I'm blessed. God meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. And then you get a bill in the mail and all of a sudden you find out what you really believe. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So we're going to lay a foundation here tonight because I've talked to many people and we're going to get into this later on. Because when we minister healing, we have to deal with the heart. Because it's with the heart that we believe. And so we have to deal with the heart. Don't rush into it trying to get someone healed before they really believe with their whole heart. Because I've discovered if I pray for someone before they're ready and we don't see a manifestation, it is another thing that discourages them. They won't understand what I just said. So let's go ahead and get into it tonight. We're going to look at first the foundation of healing. Yes, there's a foundation concerning why we believe in healing. And if you already know these things, you may have heard these things, but guess what? It cannot hurt you to hear it again. So first and foremost, we must believe without any doubting that healing is in the atonement. It is in what Christ did for us on the cross. This is a non-negotiable. It is not an added benefit that you can, but that's not the way God provided it. But it's not like you can pick and choose which blessings you want and which blessings you don't want. You can do that. But it's a package deal. And at the same place where Jesus provided forgiveness of your sins is the same place where He provided healing for your body, peace for your soul, prosperity, true biblical prosperity. And that'll be our next message, so I'm certainly not going to get into that tonight. But healing is a part of salvation. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. You know, I was reading a book just this past week written by a man back in the 1920s. He was one of the pioneers in this whole foundation of healing thing. He was a Greek and Hebrew scholar, and he was a Presbyterian, but he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he started teaching on healing and started seeing results. And some of the arguments that he had to come against of other Greek scholars going in and proving from Scripture healing's not for today. You don't hear these arguments anymore. You know why? Because those early guys refuted all of them and proved. And so they no longer use those examples to attack this. What do they do now? Now, usually, the argument against this will somewhere go along of a personal experience, not what the Bible teaches. Such as, Pastor so-and-so was a godly man who led so many people to the Lord every single week, and he loved God with his whole heart, and he died of cancer, and he said, God, if it's your will, heal me, and he didn't get healed, so it was not God's will for him to be healed. You see that? So that's usually the argument that comes out. But guess what? It had nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. It had to do with what experience says. Yet those same people, if they're truly evangelical in the sense that they believe that if you preach the gospel and if people will believe the gospel, obviously the Holy Spirit opens people's hearts. But if people will believe the gospel, God is not picking some and rejecting others for salvation. A lot of those same people will believe that and they will preach the gospel. And if everyone in the place doesn't get saved, they won't say, oh, see, it wasn't God's will for everyone to be saved. They don't believe that. Yet when it comes to healing, they change their whole theology and has nothing to do with Scripture. So it's a non-negotiable, folks. Healing is a part of what Jesus came to provide for humankind, for mankind. Sickness is a fruit of sin. Poverty is a fruit of sin. We don't have time to get into it, but in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you look at all the curses. Every single time, sickness is listed as a curse. And the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, around verse 13, 14, Jesus became a curse for us. So Jesus bore that curse. It's a non-negotiable thing. We can't play patty cake with this. I don't know if you have that terminology here, patty cake. You play patty cake with your babies? You can't play patty cake with this. You play patty cake with this, the devil will beat your brains in. You have to resist sickness the same way you resist sin. Now, some people aren't resisting very much in different areas, but we know it's not God's will for us to sin. But yet, it becomes a little bit blurry when it comes to sickness because we've been lied to and say, God uses sickness to train us and teach us. Well, then how come you're going to the doctor? So anyway, Let's keep going. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and let's look at verses 3 through 5. And we could really spend a lot of time on this, but I want to get into some other things. So we're going to lay this really quickly. I think a lot of you already ahead of the game here. But in Isaiah chapter 53, let's look at verses 3 through 5. And it says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now, there have been some people in the church that have taken that griefs and sorrows, and they say, "See, on the cross he bore our griefs, he bore our sorrows." Not physical sicknesses, not physical diseases. And they'll go to that verse there also, and they'll say, "And by his stripes we're healed." They will add the word, "By his stripes our souls are healed." That's not what it's talking about. I could spend some time expounding on that, but the Hebrew word used for healed there, and then in the New Testament, the Greek word used for healed is never, ever, ever used to refer to soul. It's always used to refer to physical healing. I don't have time to go and prove that, but you can go home and study it out on your own. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 8, because I believe that if you really want a good Bible commentary, how many of you would really love to have a Bible commentary that is 100% accurate 100% of the time, not filled with personal opinion? I'm not making a plug for my commentary that I just now published and is sitting out the table. I don't have one, because that would be a lie. Because I would not be able to keep my opinion out of it without even trying. It's just the way it is. There's only one thing we can trust as being 100% accurate without being influenced by man's opinion, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is the greatest Bible commentary on itself that is available. You want to find out what it means in Isaiah chapter 53 that he bore our griefs and he bore our sorrows and by his stripes we're healed? Go to the Word of God. It tells you what it means. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And let's start at verse 16 through 17. And it says here, "When evening had come, they brought to him," and that's talking about Jesus, "many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word." Notice, he cast out the spirits with a word. The same way you cast out a spirit is the same way you get rid of sickness. Notice, he didn't ask God to do something. Now, I'm not saying don't pray. I use the terminology, I pray for the sick. But I don't ask God to heal someone when he told me in Matthew chapter 10, when you go to all the different places and preach the gospel there, he said, heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 or 8, somewhere around there. We're not going there right now. But listen, folks, what I mean by that is we know what God's will is. And when we know what God's will is, we have confidence. And when you know what God's will is, you act differently than if you're not sure what God's will is. So when I know it's God's will to heal someone every time, I respond to the problem differently than if I didn't know. So when he cast the spirits out with a word, we're going to see this in a minute, Jesus never did, the only thing Jesus ever did was what he saw the Father do. He never did anything of his own will, he said. But he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So I want you to see, how many did he heal? All, not some. It did not say he healed those whom it was his will to heal, and then others, he gave them sickness because that's what they needed. He healed all who were sick. And this is the reason why he did it. Verse 17 is a Bible commentary on Isaiah chapter 53. He did this that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But yet in Isaiah it says, He took our sorrows and bore our griefs. Or took our griefs, bore, I can't remember which one, but you understand what I'm saying. So the Bible says, it's talking about physical sicknesses, physical infirmities, physical diseases. That's what the Bible says. Who are you going to believe? The Bible or someone's commentary or someone's sermon who doesn't believe that? The Bible tells us in Romans, I think it's chapter 4 somewhere, chapter 3 somewhere, I think it's chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what that means? Believe God more than you believe man. You remember that time when Peter was preaching with John? And the Sanhedrin gathered him and they commanded him in Acts chapter 4, never preach in this name again, guys. Just come on. Just stop preaching in this name. What did Peter say? Whether it be right to you, whether we should obey you more than God, you decide. But we're going to believe God. You know what he was saying? You are not yet believing God because you're rejecting Christ. That's for you to decide whether or not you have the authority and the right to reject what God says and keep your opinion. That's what he was saying. He said, but we're going to stick with God's opinion. You can keep believing that Jesus isn't God, isn't the way. You keep believing that, that's your business. But we're going to believe what we know the Bible says and what's true. And so this Bible, the verse says that he did this for the sole purpose of fulfilling Scripture concerning himself. Did you know that when you go through the Scripture, when you go through the Gospels, Jesus never performed one miracle or one sign and wonder that was not already discussed that he would do before in the Old Testament. That's how people knew he was the one. It's amazing. How many of you remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist said, "Here, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He knew who Jesus was. John said, the Spirit said, whoever you see the Son of God, the Spirit descending upon like a dove, that's the one. He saw that happen when he baptized him. But yet when he got thrown in prison, he sent his disciples and said, are you the one or should we look for another? Why? Hard times cause us to doubt. Anyone been there? Hard times can cause us to doubt. What did Jesus do? This wasn't part of the message, so I didn't put it in there. You can look it up later on. What did Jesus do? He didn't even answer them. Instead, that same hour, the lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the dead were raised. He said, you go back and tell John what you just saw. You know why? Because in Isaiah, it was the book of Isaiah that called John to his ministry. Behold, I'm the one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. He knew his calling. He got it from the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah in chapter 35, read this, this is exciting. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 35, I think it's around verse 4. I'm going to turn there real quick. You don't have to put it on the screen, but write this down. This is so exciting. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4 says, behold, your God will come. Did you get it? Look at that. Behold, your God will come. This is telling us that God was going to come. And look at this. With vengeance, with the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Now look at the next verse. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth from the wilderness and streams in the desert. Folks, that's a type and shadow of the gospel being preached. So when Jesus told the disciples of John, go back there and tell him what you saw, John immediately was able to think back to the scriptures in Isaiah and remember what God was going to do when he came. And God, Jesus, was doing that. That is powerful. But anyway, what I wanted you to see here, because this is very powerful, folks, that Jesus was able to do everything he did, and it was already written about him before he ever showed up. That's how they recognized him. Powerful. Wow. He did this to fulfill what was written about him. That He bore our sufferings. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our infirmities. He bore our diseases, and He healed them all in order to fulfill what God said He would do when He came. And guess what? He hasn't lost that power today. And now it's even better. It's now living on the inside of you. But that's what you have to focus on. That's what you have to meditate on. That's what you have to never move yourself away from. It's a non-negotiable. Don't let anybody talk you out of the truth, because they can. It's just a little seeds of doubt that can negate what God wants to do in your life. Just remember to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. I know we know this verse, but it says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Notice Isaiah says, "You are healed." 1 Peter says, "You were healed." Why? Jesus hadn't come yet when Isaiah was written. But when Peter wrote it, Jesus already came. What does that mean? Jesus has already done the work necessary for everything that needs to be accomplished in your life. And if it's already done, how can there be any doubt that God will do what He's already done? But what happens? Not so much in this church, I understand that. But I'm preparing you when you go out there and you meet people who don't know the truth and they start challenging you, when they see the boldness in your heart because you know what the Word says. You don't discover. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. When you know what God's Word says, a boldness rises up because you know what's being said right now is contradicting what the truth says. It's not personal. I don't hate you. I love you. And we don't get angry at the person, and we don't get mad and start yelling at them, but we will with boldness say, "That's not true. This is what the Bible says. And I've seen these results to prove it." Jesus already paid the price for your sin. He's already paid the price for your healing. If the church as a whole believed the same way about healing as they did about sin, we'd see more people walking in healing. Because so often, I mean, I talk to good Baptists. I love them, man. I love these people. And if you go up to a Baptist, if they preach the gospel to you and you came to Christ, and a few weeks later you say, "I don't feel saved," they'll say, "Brother, it has nothing to do with how you feel. The Bible says." And when it comes to healing, "Oh, I feel sick." "Oh, it's because you are sick. Because it's God's will for you." Or whatever. Folks, when it comes to healing, we don't have to ask, "If it be thy will." That phrase, "If it be thy will," destroys faith. You don't have to ask that. We know it's God's will, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. But you have to become 100% convinced. And I know when I preach the gospel, when I preach the word, I don't get shocked when someone gets healed. I'm shocked if it doesn't work. So then I want to find out why. So then I start asking questions. I start letting their heart reveal what's really there. Not judgment, that doesn't work. Love. You know, I prayed for a guy that had torn two tendons in his back. He couldn't even walk. He had the x-rays to prove it. And he already knew. So I didn't spend a long time with him on the healing. He knew the foundation. He believed that. He just wanted me to pray for him. I prayed for him and nothing happened when I first prayed. You know what? I get mad when that happens. So I kept praying until we saw the manifestation. And he was absolutely, totally healed. He was so excited because during the whole church service, he was sitting there like this. I don't know if you've ever really hurt your back, but it is miserable. You can't be comfortable in any position. But he went to the doctor the next day, and the doctor took new x-rays and couldn't believe it. Medically bona fide miracle of healing. Now, what would happen if I didn't know what God's will was? I would have said, "Sorry, brother, I don't know what's wrong." After I prayed for him the first time and didn't see the results. Now, understand me, folks. I don't say I see results every single time, but you know what? I see more results than I've ever seen before. And the only difference is because now I have zero doubt. I am 100% convinced that when I lay hands on someone, it's going to work. And if it doesn't work, if I have time, I'm going to spend time ministering life to them. And usually there's always some fear in their heart. So you have to deal with that fear. Minister to them to where they believe that God loves them and they believe that this is God's will for them. Not that it's coming out of your mouth. You can see it on their face. Let's keep going. Forgiveness and healing are mentioned together in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I don't know if you noticed that. The provision has already been made 2,000 years ago. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know why the Bible says forget not all His benefits? Because we forget. Especially when we're going through a hard time. We forget all of His benefits. Have you ever forgot this month because of what you're going through? You forgot how God helped you last month. I have. Forget not. Remember all the things that God's done for you. The devil wants you to forget. Your life is not an isolated event, what you're going through now. God wants you, He wants you right now, what you're going through, to battle what you're going through, remembering everything He's pulled you through and everything He's done for you. You know why? Because, like, man, God did it before. Sheesh. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for the testimony. Because it's already, how many of you know the letter, someone has put a letter in the mailbox. Now, I'm not saying the one that they lied. The check's in the mail, man. The check's in the mail. 3 months later, the check's in the mail. But when you know someone put it in the post, you know it's on the way. It's already left. And every day, you're expecting that package to show up. See, it's the heart of expectancy. It's the same way everything we go through, we have to have that same anticipation. Now, it's already done, but the manifestation of that can take some time, depending on what we're believing for. Amen? But watch in verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. All in all. If you can believe He's forgiven all your iniquities, which a lot of the church doesn't have a problem with that. Now, we're not going to get into a whole bunch of other things in that right now. But most of the church believes that at some point, God forgave all of your iniquities. Now, we understand as past, present, and future, everything's dealt with by His one sacrifice, one time forever. Amen? But He's also dealt with all your diseases, one time, past, present, and future. It's not like God has to re-release His power. And some problems are more difficult than God than other problems. And sometimes you'll pray for someone and they'll come up and they'll have a list of things wrong with them. And they'll say stuff like, "But if we can only deal with this problem, I can handle the rest." I've had people do that. "I've got these 10 things wrong with me, but right now this is really paining me. So if we could just have this sorted out, I could tolerate." Brothers and sisters, God didn't call us to tolerate. He called us to have all sicknesses and diseases be healed in our physical bodies in a manifestation of that. Right now. And if you have 20 things wrong with you, God can handle 20 things right now. Sometimes when I'm praying for someone, I'm kind of doing a little teaching as well here on when you're ministering to someone, I'll ask them, "What hurts the most?" You know why I do that? Because I want them to see that God's more than willing to touch them. And if I can get that done, now if that just was sorted out, do you think that God wants to also take care of all the other things? And you know what? Yeah. And sometimes I see one by one by one by one. I have shoulder problems. I have knee problems. I have migraines. I have this. I have that. I go, boom. Now, is that done? Yes, let's do the next. Deal with that. Then the next. Now, you can do it differently. If you just do one prayer with one word, praise God, I'm still working with just casting it out with a word. It takes me more than a word, but hey, I'm getting some results. So until I can get there with just a word, healed. I'm believing for that, but you know what? It hasn't happened exactly that way yet. I'm going to keep going and keep using what I've got that's working, amen? But you have to know that it is God's will for you to be healed. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Do you have that for me? Now, leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, notice all this, notice the body language. This, isn't it how sometimes people, Christians, come to God? I'm just a poor, rotten sinner. I'm a worm, God. That's not how you approach God. Now, the difference is, this was a leper. He didn't know what God's will was. We have no excuse. But watch this. If you are willing, you can make me clean. See, he knew he could. He just didn't know if he wanted to. What did Jesus say? Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. That is a big no-no. You don't touch people with leprosy. The law said they're unclean. Don't touch them. So here this leper, Jesus touches him and says to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus never did, unless what he saw the Father do, he did not do his own will. He only did the will of the Father. And Jesus healed all who were sick. And he said, I'm willing. God is willing to heal you every time. We have to believe in our heart and don't doubt. This is all part of the foundation. Mark 11, verse 23 through 24 says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, another powerful thing about healing is that you talk to the problem. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt. You know how many people do the physical exercise, but they doubt? You know how I know? I've done it. Whoever says to this mountain, so you have to speak to your problem. Don't tell God about your problem. Oh God, please heal me. You speak to whatever problem it is. If it's cancer, if it's arthritis, you say, in the name of Jesus, arthritis, I have been healed from you. You can't stay in my body. And when you pray for someone else, you attack the problem with the power of God. You speak to it. When Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, it says Jesus rebuked the fever and it left her. He spoke to the fever. You mean you say fever go? Yes. Pain go? Yes. I had someone, I was praying for them in their knee, and I was praying for their pain in their knee, and then the pain left, and they said, but I still have a little pain. That's okay. I said, little pain go. And it left. Whatever you call the thing, call it by its name. But you cannot doubt in your heart. But you have to believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, not when you see it, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now folks, this is not going around and using whatever ideas that you can come up with and using this as some sort of a magic thing. This is not. It's always based in what God's will is. Healing is God's will. But I can't go calling forth some other man's wife or some other man's ministry or some other man's car. Oh, I like your car. In the name of Jesus, I claim that car in the name of Jesus. Brother, you just better give me the keys now because it's mine. Now, that was the kind of foolish stuff going on in the Word of Faith movement back in, and it shipwrecked a lot of people's faith because they didn't understand it's grace through faith. Whatever God has provided by His grace, we have every right to believe that it's done and it's ours by faith. Amen. So we have to believe that Jesus would no more put sickness on you than put sin in your life. Do you believe God would give you a little adultery to teach you a lesson? Oh, baby, don't be upset with me. God gave me this adultery to purge my character. Psh, that wouldn't work, would it? Would that work? But yet, God gave me this sickness to test me and train me and make me more holy. Well, it's not working. So you have to believe that God would no more put sickness on you than put sin in your life. Healing is just as much a part of atonement as forgiveness of sins. Amen.